says in verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And I want to think about the freedom that Jesus Christ is speaking about in these words, because freedom is something that we take for granted, and yet it's something that is precious and something that we would want if we didn't have it. For example, in Iran, lately, you may have seen in the news, there have been lots of protests, and many people out in the streets have been advocating for regime change. Because in that country, and maybe Claire will deal with this some of it tomorrow night, she'll maybe mention it, in that country, there is a regime that seeks to control the people. And Mrs. Thatcher famously said that if you offer people a choice between tyranny and democracy or freedom, they always choose freedom. Every time. And here Jesus is speaking about freedom. Now, it's not social freedom, it's not economic freedom, it's not political freedom that Jesus is talking about, but Jesus is talking about spiritual freedom. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And here in the context, he is speaking to these Jews, and he is speaking to these Jews. We're told in verse 30, as he was speaking, many believed in him. And I think what that verse is indicating to us is that many believed in him in a superficial way. Oh, we believe in you. We are trusting you. But here, after verse 30, Jesus begins to push back against their so-called belief, and he begins to probe into what they had professed to see, was it really faith or was it just skin deep? Was it just words that hadn't actually made its way down into hearts? And so Jesus speaks now about freedom, and he begins to challenge them as to whether or not they really had spiritual freedom or not. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And I think from that word, if, Jesus was looking at them and thinking, you think you're free, but you're not free at all. And so here in these words, the Savior is unpicking their thinking. He is going over the things that held them so that they would understand their position, and in their position, then they would look for freedom. And Jesus was indicating to them where that freedom was to be found. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. But they weren't there yet, so he starts to unpick some of the things that they believed. Notice as he speaks about verse 31, he said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you'll become free? The Jews at this point in their history, looking back to Abraham, Abraham had lived 2,200 years before Jesus walked on this earth. The Jews had this history going back thousands of years, and they were very proud of this history. And when they say here to Jesus, we have never been enslaved to anyone, that wasn't true. They had been enslaved for 400 years to the Egyptians. But for many of those years, many of those centuries, they had a so-called freedom, a political freedom, a social and an economic freedom, and they had enjoyed that in different ways. But as Jesus unpicks the thinking here, what he is saying to them is this. He says, you will know the truth, verse 32, and the truth will set you free. In other words, your history won't set you free. They were slaves to their history. They needed someone to set them free from looking back and believing that their history would be their salvation. Many people think, don't they, that their history will be their salvation. They have their tribe that they belong to, their political tribe, whatever it may be, and they believe that belonging to that tribe will be their salvation. But Jesus indicates here that It's the truth that sets you free, not belonging to a tribe, not coming from a particular family, not belonging to a particular church or a denomination. Not, he says, none of those things that people are trusting in. That's slavery, to think a church will save you, or to think a country will save you, or to think a loyalty to an organization will save you. That's slavery. It's the truth that sets you free, the truth of God. And he is unpicking their thinking here in verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth of God will set you free. They didn't know it yet. They are slaves to their history, slaves to their background. Many a person will say, well, my mother was like this, my father was like this, as if that means they can't be changed by God. Or people will say, it's the tribe I belong to, the organization I belong to, or whatever it may be, but they know nothing of the truth of God. It is the truth that will set you free. And we need liberated from thinking that somehow our history or our position will somehow save us. It won't, because it can't. Notice then, Jesus says in verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Here's Jesus now moving things on from talking about their history, and he is speaking now about sin. And the Jews, well, what was sin? It wasn't no big deal. Sure it wasn't. As long as you're a Jew, that's the main thing. Jesus now starts to talk about sin. We thought about this morning, particularly in the life of King Saul. You remember how whenever David, we said this morning, when David came into the royal court and the women were singing songs about David, Saul got jealous. And then the jealousy became anger, and he's boiling with rage. And then the boiling with rage meant he lifted a javelin and he made an attempt on David's life. He had gone from jealousy to anger to attempted murder. Now, there's a man is in the grip of sin. There's a man who is held in the grip of sin, who cannot escape, who cannot stop doing wrong. And when we think of people who are slaves, we often think about the fact, I mean, our country glories in the fact that William Wilberforce banned slavery. And yes, he did. Slavery in the sense of enslaving people in irons and making them work on farms and whatever else. Yes, he did that. But a lot of people are slaves to alcohol. They're slaves to drugs. They're slaves to their jobs. They're slaves to making money. They're slaves to their idols, whatever those idols may be. They're slaves to pornography. They're slaves to gambling. They're slaves to their lusts. They're slaves to their nastiness. They're slaves to their gossip. They're slaves to their pride. They're slaves to their whatever. And they can't stop. They're slaves to their bad language. They're slaves to their filthy mouths. And Jesus here says, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. In other words, he is saying to these Jews, you haven't actually faced up to the fact that you're sinners who need to be saved. You just think it's, you know, well, we were born Jews and we believe in God, so that's all okay then. What about your sin? He says the slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever in verse 35. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now Jesus is saying there is one who sets people free. And he's talking about himself. If you're a slave tonight, if you're entrapped tonight, if you're caught tonight, and you need to be liberated, Jesus is saying here, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He's talking about himself. You remember when he first came in the synagogue in Nazareth, he read from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives I was thinking recently of this. I was listening to a minister talking about some folk who had been converted in his church. And he said these were men who couldn't hardly say a word without a blasphemy or a bad word. He said, whenever they came to Christ and were set free by Christ, he said it was like someone had taken a sponge and washed out their mouths. They never said a bad word again. Because if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And there's wonder-working power in the blood of Christ. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He says in verse 28 of the chapter, so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And I want to say this evening. If you forget everything else I say this evening, listen to what I'm about to say. Jesus, in these verses, when he talks about being lifted up, he is referring to his crucifixion, to being nailed to a cross, spikes through his hands, spikes through his feet. There's no way off a cross. And yet I want to say to you tonight that Jesus on the cross was the freest man that has ever lived on the cross, that has ever lived. Because Jesus was free of sin. Jesus was free of any bias. He was free of any prejudice. He was free of anything that was holding him back from serving God. On the cross, Jesus is the freest man who has ever lived. And so if the Son, that Son, sets you free, you will be free indeed. This man who is the Son of freedom and is freedom himself personified, he will set the captives free. So look to him. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Notice how they answer him in verse 20 and verse 39. They answer him, well, Abraham is our father. They're back again to their church history. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did. And we'll come to that in a minute. But notice again this going back to church history, this going back to their forefathers, the patriarchs. And Abraham was a great man, make no mistake about it, the friend of God. He was justified by faith and faith alone. But the Jews were depending, and this is another thing they needed to be liberated from. They needed to be liberated from depending on people. Like Abraham. Abraham was flawed. Abraham sinned. He lied. Abraham needed set free as much as these Jews to whom Jesus is speaking needed to be set free. And somehow they keep quoting Abraham to Jesus. How can someone who needs to be saved from sin save those who need to be saved from sin? It can't happen. They said to him, and here they go again, here's something else they need to be liberated from. They said to Jesus in verse 41, well, we were not born of sexual immorality. They're slandering him now. People knew Mary was pregnant before Mary and Joseph were married. So the slander among the Jews was, well, who are you to talk to us? We weren't born of sexual immorality. Our parents were married, you know. Here they are taking refuge in their respectability. As if just being respectable could save you. We've just been singing, the Lord is my salvation. But here the Jews thinking their respectability, their parents were married, they were brought up, they went to the right schools, they were good clothes, they're not beggars in the streets. They looked down on the dirty Pharisees and the tax collectors, like David was quoting in his prayer, Matthew the tax collector. No, we're not like those people. We're decent, hardworking, respectable, honest Jews. Sons and daughters of Abraham. And Jesus here is saying you need to be liberated from depending on people like that. Good people, yes, but they needed to be saved as much as you need to be saved. And Jesus goes again. Because Jesus starts to speak to them about your father, verse 44, your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Your father, the devil. Hear that? When they were born in sin. Psalm 51. And shapen in iniquity. They were born to do what the devil does, lying, sinning, slandering. These people had, they just thought their Judaism, their Abrahamic faith, their respectability, their history was enough to save them. And yet Jesus says to them, you're born in sin. And the previous chapters, Jesus had talked about dying in your sins, the danger of dying in your sins. They're not taking sin seriously. And so Jesus is saying to them now, you are of your father, the devil. This is why you tell lies. This is why at the end of the chapter, verse 59, they pick up stones to throw at him. They're ready to murder him in the street. This is a lynch mob, and yet they think they're respectable. You and I know that when a baby is born, it doesn't need to be taught how to sin. It needs taught how to use a knife and fork. It needs taught to use a pencil or a pen. It needs taught how to walk. It needs taught how to eat. It needs taught how to whatever. It doesn't need taught to do wrong. We are born in sin. We are shaped in iniquity. And these Jews hadn't faced up to their sin. And Jesus says to them, verse 46, which one of you convicts me of sin? Those weren't pride words. Those were truthful words. And you remember even at his trial, when Jesus was put on trial, they had to get two witnesses and pay them to come and give evidence because no one was able to say what Jesus had done wrong. He's the sinless man as well as the freest man. And this is why he is able to save sinners. He is the sinless man. Which of you convicts me of sin? Nobody speaks. If I tell the truth, then why do you not believe me? Verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. See, there's a hearing God's word that is different from the hearing God's word. Understand what I'm saying? There's people come in here, big crowd in the morning. And there's people tonight who hear God's word, but then there's the people who hear God's word. There's a difference. And you need to be liberated from hearing God's word in darkness and hearing God's word given to you in light. That's why Jesus says in verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then the Jews have another go at him. You ever think about how Jesus, in his ministry, in his life, they were always trying to trap him, catch him out. They have another go. Here's another slander now. The Jews answered him, verse 48, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan? And you have a demon. You're demon-possessed. You've come from the devil." Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." Now, the Father, in this chapter, I think it's about 12 times the word Father. When Jesus is explaining to them who God is, he keeps talking about your Father. Verse 42, Jesus said, "If God were your Father," he keeps referring to God as Father. And when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, he said to the disciples, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who art in heaven.'" There's a book appeared out quite a few years ago now, called The Forgotten Father. And the argument of the book was that in the modern church, the fatherhood of God has been forgotten. If you're an evangelical, it's all about Jesus. If you're a Pentecostal, it's all about the Holy Spirit. Where's the Father? And the man who wrote that book was trying to make the point, we have forgotten the fatherhood of God, that God is loving, providing, caring, watching over his people, guarding them, guiding them. And Jesus is teaching these Jews. Their view of God was that God was a stern God out there somewhere. But Jesus is saying, he is your Father. And I know people have had bad experiences of their father. They can be absent fathers, or they can be abusive fathers, or alcoholic fathers, or fathers who are bad to their mothers. And people can have very skewed pictures of what a father is. But Jesus here, when he talks about God as Father, is talking about the perfect Father. Maybe the father you always wished you'd had. Well, here he is. Every father has their imperfections. Every father has their flaws, their sins. Every father has the ways in which they let down their children. But here is a father who is flawless, sinless. He never lets down his children. He's always there for them. Loyal, good, kind, caring, providing, guiding, guarding, directing. And Jesus is saying to these Jews, "You accuse me of having a demon, and I'm talking about God as Father? The demon's not going to do that." He says in verse 51, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Jesus is now saying, "I'm even beyond death." He is free. He is sinless. He is the teacher of God as Father, and now he is beyond death. "And if you keep my word," he says in verse 52, "you will never taste death." And the Jews, well, they're still going on about Abraham. It gets a bit wearisome when you read this chapter and you think, why do they keep coming back to Abraham? Now at the end of the chapter, they do it again. They say to Jesus in verse 57, "You are not yet 50 years old, and yet you say you have seen Abraham." And here as we come to the climax. We come to the moment where Jesus, and sometimes people say, you'll hear people say this maybe in debates, Jesus Christ never claimed to be the Son of God. Well, here it is, where he does claim to be the Son of God. Because the Jews say to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and how can you say you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Abraham's dead, remember, 2,200 years. And here's Jesus saying, "Before Abraham was born, I am." That's mind-blowing. Grammatically, it doesn't make sense, but it is mind-bending and mind-blowing that when Abraham, 2,200 years before, had walked the earth, Jesus was already in existence. He is the eternal Son unto all. From eternity to eternity, he is the Son. And he is the Son. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And the Jews understand this, so they pick up stones in the last verse to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. That's why did they pick up stones? Because this was blasphemy to say you were older than Abraham. To say you'd been in existence before Abraham existed, but he had been in existence before Abraham existed. He had set Abraham free and Jacob free and Isaac free and many others free in the Old Testament. He had set them free. And here he is speaking to these Jews to set them free from their sin, their slavery to sin, their slavery to their past, their slavery to their prejudices, their slavery in darkness. He has come to set them free. This is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of freedom. And tonight I'm saying, as I close, if you need spiritual freedom, look to Jesus on the cross. The man who can't move, the man who looks to be a captive and captured, is the freest man that has ever lived. Free of sin, free of prejudice, free of any flaws, he is free. And if the Son sets you free, sir, you shall be free indeed. And madam, if the Son sets you free from your sin, from your slavery to the past, from your prejudices and from your darkness, whatever holds you, whatever power you're held in, whatever way the devil's grip on your life manifests itself, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Indeed. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I have enjoyed preaching it. I hope people have enjoyed listening to it. And Father, I thank you that these words are truth. And if the truth sets you free, you shall be free indeed. For these words point us to Jesus on the cross, who was lifted up so that we could know freedom by believing on him. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for the wonder of the gospel, the kingdom of heaven, where the captives are set free, where the oppressed are liberated. Father, what a message. What a power. And help us, we pray, to live in the glory of this freedom, this liberation, for we pray in Jesus, the liberator's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn.